Welcome back. You're here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You're with Dave and Faisal. We're talking about, well, we talked about probate and estate issues specific to probate, Faisal. But the whole legacy bucket, right? This whole idea of I've built wealth, I've worked my whole life to create wealth. How do I transition it? I'm going to say that the legacy that people leave is not just about wealth. It's important. Don't get me wrong. Taxes, fees, right? How to transition that, very important. But nobody wants to leave the legacy of a legal problem, a battle, or a broken family.
Correct. And a lot of people don't believe that there will be one.
Right.
Because we have that conversation. How's the relationship with your children? How are the relationship with the siblings? You know, those types of things. And I'll tell you, most of them say, yeah, things are good, right? Until maybe money gets in the middle of it or something goes wrong. You know, these are the things we need to worry about. I think when people are putting their, quote unquote, estate plan together,
right,
they either have experienced or heard of the experience of going through probate or these types of issues. And it's a fear that, oh my God, I don't want my family member or my significant other or somebody to go through all this work. Just put everything in joint, make life easier.
You know? Yeah, joint. You know, one of the, it's a bit of a taboo topic too, right? I mean, talking about what happens after you're gone can be difficult for couples, right?
Yeah.
And it can be difficult for the family dynamic, you know, talking to the kids. One, many kids we know don't know what their parents have. The parents have been secretive about that,
sure,
right? That can lead to problems. But two, you know, there's all kinds of problems that can be created if one of the family members or somebody in the family somehow feels that they have not been recognized properly, right? And so there's, I want to talk to Catherine a little bit. And Catherine, maybe you can give us your opinion on some of the common, I don't know if the word is mistakes, or the issues that you think people, when they're putting together their estate plan, should be talking about together as a couple and thinking about. And then what your opinion is on how broadly that conversation happens in the family.
Yeah, I mean, I think my philosophy typically with estate planning is to the best extent possible, be open with your family. 'Cause I think for us, one of the biggest reasons for clients to come in and say, hey, I'm just not sure about the situation. Can you help me explain to me what my rights or obligations or responsibilities are with respect to this, is because something's happened in the estate plan that they were not a part of and that they weren't aware of. And so they're kind of checking in to make sure, well, is everything going in accordance with the way it should be going, or should I be concerned because I wasn't named as one of mom's executors. And so for us, the biggest one is having that conversation between the couple and coming to an agreement with, yeah, who do you want to administer your estate? And if you have more than one child and the intention is to name only one or two of them, whereas you have more kids and you're leaving some out, it's sometimes important to have that conversation with the kids while that planning is happening to say, well, here are the reasons why we've appointed only one or two of you rather than all four of you. I mean, the one of the easy explanations is administering an estate with four executors can be really unwieldy and just make things so much more complicated. There can be jurisdictional issues in terms of people living out of province or people living out of country. And so that's usually an easy way to kind of start off the conversation and give people a heads up of what to expect. I think a lot of the times too, we've started having conversations with clients about, well, in addition to understanding how you want to divide your property on death, let's take a look at whether or not you've already distributed some of your property during your lifetime, or whether or not you think that the kids will have some sort of expectation that, for example, if you helped one kid with a down payment on a house, or you helped another kid through post-secondary education, that the other children you have are going to expect some sort of equalization. And sometimes that does come up. You know, the will says, I want to divide my estate equally amongst my kids. And the one of the kids will put their hands up and say, okay, but you know, my sister over here received $500,000 for a for a down payment during her lifetime. That mm-hmm. should be counted towards the half estate. And so it's really kind of examining that and making your intentions clear once that asset or that gift has been identified. We talk about it in the will. Was that intended to be an advance on the estate, or was it intended to be a gift? And that way, when the will gets read, whoever the children are that are involved, really have that chat and have a clear understanding of where mom and dad sat on the issue so that people aren't fighting about it after death.
So let me ask a two-part question here. Let's talk about out of province. What if yeah. your executor is from a different province? And then let's flip it and say, what if you own assets or property in a different province? What do we have to be aware of?
Yeah, so it's a case-by-case basis. The default position in Alberta is if you name an executor who is out of province, they will be required to post a bond on your estate, and that typically is purchasing some sort of insurance that's equivalent to the size of your estate. And that's just Alberta's way of protecting the beneficiaries in the estate. If somebody from out of province gets appointed and then has access to all of the funds and absconds with money, at least there's some sort of comparable amount in that estate available for the beneficiaries. There are some ways to request a waiver of bond, and so as clients come in, we can talk to them about the different types or the different types of planning that you can do. If you have assets outside of the province, depending on what that province requires and depending on what type of asset you own, you may have to get a grant of probate or a grant of administration in two provinces. The main grant will be in the jurisdiction where the individual was domiciled or resident, and then what happens is that application kind of gets duplicated in the second province in order to deal with that province's assets. So, for example, if you have a vacation home in BC, you'd likely get a resealed grant for BC if most of the assets were administered in Alberta.
So are you saying that they could be paying probate in BC for that asset or no?
For the BC asset.
For the BC asset only, because they're a resident, let's say, of Alberta. And
right.
So therefore, they would only be paying probate on that piece.
Yeah, and probate is province specific. So typically, provinces will only require you to report on assets in that province.
And what can a client do or a family do in the event that they do have assets in multiple jurisdictions, Catherine? Does it make sense to have a singular will in Alberta that encompasses all the assets, or should you perhaps have multiple wills, to handle the jurisdictional differences?
Yeah, I mean, that is probably on a case-by-case basis. I would say, generally speaking, as long as all the assets are in Alberta, as long as all of the assets are in Canada, it's acceptable to have one will rather than having multiple wills in Canada, because then it can be confusing about which will has revoked which other will, which will is working in conjunction with the other will. So, we would encourage clients to identify the assets that are specific in other provinces and determine whether or not they want something different to happen to that asset. But on a typical default position, it's not necessary for you to have wills in every jurisdiction that you've got property in, at least for Canada.
Okay. I think we'll have to wrap it up there. We're quickly running out of time. If you've been listening to this, I think, Faisal, there's lots of takeaways, is that as you develop wealth, there comes complexity with that.
Correct.
Right? And you need to think a little bit about that, because in the absence of that, and Catherine has shared some of the horror stories of the outcome, the potential outcomes, if you don't think about it, that's, again, I go back to my comment. Nobody sits at the end of the day and says, really, what I want to leave is discord in the family.
Yes.
Right? And
yep.
I want all of my estate to be absorbed in legal fees in a battle. Nobody wants that.
That's correct.
So it is important to take time to think about it. And as Catherine said, it's a case by case. So it's a family specific basis, because there's lots of, moving parts in the family. Catherine, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We've got input again from Catherine Zhang, who's an associate at Walsh LLP. In Calgary, and you can reach her at Walsh offices if you're interested in getting some input on your own personal estates. We're going to talk about the whole wealth strategy, right? So when we talk about the four buckets and the five pillars of our investment strategy, the four buckets encompass a total wealth strategy,
Yeah, and part of that, when you're looking at the total wealth strategy, is do I have enough money to live off of in my retirement? How do I invest in these types of markets so I don't run out of money, so I don't take a big hit to my portfolio? And more importantly, how do I minimize tax? While we're doing all this stuff as well, we're going to discuss that on Tuesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now, you need to reserve your seats, so give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go to our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, join us after the break. We're going to talk about why ETFs may be bad for you. This on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.